Excerpts from Upadesa Ratnavali, Part 2, by Sadhu Nadanananda. Sadhu Nadanananda, while listening to the questions of devotees and hearing Sri Bhagavan's replies, wished to preserve these gems and present them to Tamil devotees in a simple, concise manner. Hence, the prose work Upadesa Ratnavali came into being in 1931. Sri Hari Murthy has lovingly translated this work from the original Tamil, and his translation and commentary has been published this year by Sri Ramanashramam. The first excerpts from Upadesa Ratnavali were published in the March-April 2025 issue of the Maharishi. We are pleased to present another selection of these inspired aphorisms. Number 9. Embracing Humility, A Path to Greatness. Avadarikai, Adakkame Uyarvukku Karanam Enal. Summary: humility is the quintessence of greatness. Humility is indispensable for achieving greatness. The emergence of humility necessitates the disappearance of the ego. Even in the absence of conscious awareness, when the ego is prevented from asserting itself, the grace of Lord Ishvara flows freely. Such a state of being is indeed great. Why? Because humility represents the innate wisdom inherent in every jiva, a state of being that is universal. This natural state of wisdom, silently radiating as non-dual effulgent consciousness, is hailed as the pinnacle of greatness. Conversely, when an individual deviates from this state of non-dual awareness, identifying with the body and senses as the self, misidentification ensues. This lack of self-awareness gives rise to various complexities and grandeur, leading to a state of illusion and suffering deemed the lowest of the low. Therefore, the absence of ego is considered the highest state, while its presence is regarded as the lowest. The greatest among beings are those who do not seek greatness, proclaims the Vedas. Surupa Saram. When one adopts the egoic notion, I am the body, troubles arise as illusory world transforms into a reality, bringing forth abundant suffering. It is truly remarkable. Who can comprehend this intricate play? Thayumanavar. Commentary. By citing two poignant verses, the author elucidates two pivotal points. The egoic sense leads to trouble and misery, and the egoless state brings forth the bliss of the self. Drawing from these insights and a widely accepted understanding that humility arises from the absence of ego, the author concludes that humility is indeed the genuine source of greatness. Number 10. In the midst of divine grace, the torment of unquenched desires. Avatarikai. Arut pravahattu kidayil irundum thabatriya veppam taniyadu nadi pravahattu kidayil irundum thaga vetkai taniyadadarku okkumenal. Remaining in the midst of a flood of divine grace, without relinquishing one's pursuit of worldly desires, is akin to being stranded in the middle of a river, tormented by unquenched thirst. Explanation. Just as four elements, earth, fire, water, and air, exist within the canvas of the fifth element, space, all jivas reside within the infinite expanse of the self's perfect grace, which permeates everywhere like boundless knowledge. When one fails to dwell in this wisdom and experience its bliss, transcending the distinction between inner and outer by continuing to grapple with worldly pursuits, it's akin to standing in a river with rushing waters and still suffering from thirst. Quote, without recognizing oneself, searching for oneself is peculiar. How can one even describe such an occurrence? It's akin to standing in the middle of a river, still crying out for water while being thirsty. End quote. Swarupa Saram. Commentary. This verse brilliantly brings out the paradoxical nature of the human quest for self-realization, suggesting that without seeking one's identity, any other pursuit becomes absurd and futile. The analogy of standing in the middle of a river and still thirsting for water vividly illustrates this irony. Just as it is nonsensical to search for water while surrounded by it, it's equally absurd to seek oneself looking outward. The author emphasizes the need to look inward and cultivate a deep understanding of oneself. All other worldly pursuits only create worldly misery, as described in section 9. Number 11. The futility of seeking Lord Ishwara externally. Avatharikai. Ullathin kan ariyadu Ishwarane veliye thedi thiridal vyarthame enal. Summary. Searching for Lord Ishwara without delving into one's heart is futile. Explanation. Shining within every heart as pure existence, Sat, Lord Ishwara is ever present, awaiting realization by those who turn their focus inward with unwavering concentration. Those who seek externally only diminish themselves by wandering aimlessly. Why? There is no purpose in such wandering. Why? How can something be found in a place other than where it inherently resides? In the heart, he shines as self-luminous, formless, and undifferentiated wisdom eternally. Attempting to perceive him as an external object separate from oneself is futile. Even after searching for countless eons, one would find no success in such an external quest. Quote, the hierarchy of existence can be understood as follows. The lowest level entails perceiving a separation between oneself and Lord Ishwara. The intermediate level involves constantly contemplating Lord Ishwara's divine feet. The highest level of existence is achieved when one realizes the inherent unity between oneself and Lord Ishwara. End quote. Shivajnana Vallalar. Quote, earning to behold the Lord, you kindle a camphor flame and engage in rituals, worshipping with fervor by bringing your hands together. But whom do you seek? The cherished self or some other entity? Those who anticipate discovering the divine Lord in corporeal form are in truth deluding themselves. End quote. Swarupa Saram. Commentary. Drawing from two poignant verses, the author articulates a compelling discourse on the fruitlessness of seeking the Lord externally. Emphasizing that the Lord perpetually radiates as the eternal self within every heart, ceaselessly bestowing his grace, Sri Natarananda underscores the pinnacle of existence, the realization of unity between the individual and the divine, as asserted in the first verse by Sivajnana Vallalar, a distinguished 15th century poet-philosopher. The second verse poignantly illustrates the futility of ritualistic prayers founded on the belief that the Lord manifests in a specific form as in truth he shines ubiquitously as unmanifested wisdom. Number 12, the unified essence of peace and shakti. Avatarikai சாந்தி சக்திகளை வெவ்வேறெனல் பிரமாதம் ஆம் எனல். சமரி ஸ்டேட்டிங் தட் இன்னர் பீஸ் அண்ட் மேனிஃபெஸ்ட் சக்திஸ் ஆர் டூ டிஸ்டிங் என்டிட்டீஸ் இஸ் எரோனியஸ். எக்ஸ்பிளனேஷன் சேஜஸ் வித் ஃபிலசாபிக்கல் இன்சைட் அசர்ட் தட் பீஸ் அண்ட் சக்திஸ் ஆர் சினானிமஸ். வாய் திஸ் அசர்ஷன் இஸ் ரூட்டட் இன் தி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் that consciousness itself transforms into knowledge. Thus, the tranquility experienced internally is mirrored in the external manifestation of Saktis. Essentially, the latent potential of Lord Ishvara, unbound by causality or limitations, resides as peace. When it unfolds from his undifferentiated self, it manifests as Shaktis. Number 13. The illusion of Lord Ishvara's omnipresent Shaktis. Avatarikai Ishvaranukku ullanavaga sollapadum sarvajna magiya saktigal sonmathirame enal. Summary. Describing Lord Ishvara as possessing omnipresent Shaktis is deceptive. Explanation. Describing Lord Ishvara as possessing omnipresent Shaktis is a figment of our imagination. Why? Lord Ishvara radiates as luminous consciousness, existence, bliss, and undividedness. How could he be said to possess specific and limited powers when his essence transcends such definitions? If these Shaktis cannot be attributed to him as possessions, how could we then attribute omnipresent Shaktis to him? In truth, such attributions contradict the perfect non-dual state of Lord Shiva's existence. Therefore, they hold no relevance to truth. When the Vedas speak of Lord Ishvara possessing infinite Shaktis, they do so as a counter-argument, Purvapaksham. This is because beings steeped in ignorance, identifying themselves with the body, claim ownership of actions and their results. Burdened by this ignorance, they cycle through birth and death. Out of compassion for such beings, it is said Lord Ishvara possesses all these Shaktis. Number 14. The fallacy of manifested Shaktis. Avatarikai Sarvaktyamagiya Saktigal Ajnanigal Varayime Meipola Thondrumenal. Summary. Only the unwise perceive the all-encompassing manifested Shaktis as the ultimate truth. Explanation. Without being aware of the ever-present self, which cognizes everything, only the unwise perceive the manifested scenes of the mind's forms and its illusory activities as real. Consequently, they consider omnipresent Shaktis to be real. Conversely, jnanis who have realized the truth and are completely rid of the dark, delusory desires of the mind understand differently. Why? The illusory actions of Maya, which bring forth and destroy material things, are born out of the one constant, indestructible self. Acting as an agent, one can become entangled in the material world through desires. Such desires create miseries. Jnanis clearly perceive this reality. Therefore, realizing the self, a jnani does not fall for material objects even in the slightest. Realizing the singular self, which shines perpetually as consciousness, existence, and manifests all forms and desirable objects, is the only path that that allows one to be rid of all manifested shaktis. Why? Because the self, shining in its radiance as existence, transcends all externally manifested shaktis in its infinite wisdom. Quote, all siddhis experienced by sages may provide pleasurable experiences, but they do not grant liberation. End quote. Kaivalya Navaneetam. Commentary. The author wonderfully highlights a crucial distinction between siddhis, or supernatural powers, and liberation, or spiritual freedom. Siddhis are extraordinary abilities or powers that spiritual practitioners may attain through intense spiritual practices. These siddhis can manifest in various forms, including psychic abilities, healing powers, or control over the elements. While siddhis may grant pleasurable experiences temporarily and enable practitioners to perform remarkable feats, they do not lead to true liberation or spiritual enlightenment. Liberation, in the spiritual sense, refers to the ultimate freedom from the cycle of birth and death, samsara, and the realization of one's true nature as pure consciousness or the divine self. Building this theme over the last few sections, Sri Natarananda suggests that while siddhis may offer temporary satisfaction or worldly achievements, they ultimately do not lead to the inner transformation of the individual ego necessary for liberation. True liberation comes from transcending the egoic self, realizing one's unity with the divine or the cosmic consciousness, and experiencing a state of inner peace, wisdom, and unconditional love. Number 15. Manifested shaktis hinder spiritual progress. Avatarike Sarvaktya Mahiya Siddhihal Hridayathulla Vasanehal Main Melum Valarvarke Heduvamenal. Summary. All forms of siddhis, supernatural powers, only serve to cultivate vasanas, which are karmic imprints that manifest as desires in one's hearts. Explanation. All relationships stemming from actions, particularly those fueled by feeble powers, foster attachments among those who lack self-awareness and are easily swayed. When such unwise beings gain supernatural powers, their minds become more externally oriented, leading to further entanglement. Although these actions may initially appear pleasurable, they ultimately lead to misery. The pleasures derived from external activities cannot culminate in liberation, as true liberation is the outcome of an inward journey. Commentary. Expanding on the theme introduced in the previous section, where it was established that the wise do not seek supernatural powers, siddhis, the author dwells deeper into the obstacles posed by these siddhis on the spiritual journey of aspirants. Instead of leading to genuine happiness, siddhis divert individuals from the spiritual path, pushing them towards external actions that generate further bondage and desires. Individuals gain misery from the limited powers granted to them by the Lord. If additional supernatural powers are granted to individuals whose attention is externally oriented, then only greater miseries befall them. Those who are already abiding in the inner bliss of the self find no use for supernatural powers. Therefore, Sadhu Natarananda concludes that there is no reason to gain or seek supernatural powers over the absolute bliss of the self, which is liberation. Number 16. Meaning of omniscience. Avatarikai. Yellavatrayum ariyum anmavai arivade sarvagnam enbadan purulam enal. Summary. The essence of omniscience is to comprehend the Atma, the self, which is aware of everything. Explanation. There is no world devoid of an object, space, or time. Similarly, there exists no object, space or time without the presence of the Atma. All phenomena in all places at all times are perceived solely through the radiant essence of the Atma. Hence, true omniscience lies in the awareness of the Atma. Commentary. This section explains the interplay between the world, the ego and consciousness. It suggests that the world we perceive is inseparable from the concepts of objects, space and time. These elements are fundamental to our experience of external reality. However, underlying this apparent diversity and multiplicity is the unifying presence of the Atma or the Self. Sri Natarananda highlights that the interconnectedness of all things, asserting that objects, space and time are not independent entities, but rather are manifestations of the Atma. This perspective shifts the focus from external phenomena to the underlying essence that permeates everything. Furthermore, he emphasizes the soul consciousness in the perception of reality, suggesting that all phenomena are perceived through the radiant essence of the Atma and implying that consciousness is the medium through which the world is experienced. Finally, his explanation posits that true omniscience or complete knowledge arises only from awareness of the Atma.